Okay, so we have a few rules in the workshop. The rules are as such. Every friend that is in the circle with me is great. Yes? Why is he great? Is it a lie, or do I just have to make believe to direct myself in the correct manner to the Creator? Or is he truly great? But he's not great. I see, like myself, if we give him a test, even in Kabbalah or something, he'll be revealed like me, or even less than me. He's small in his experience, in the group. Why do I have to accept him as great? But in a simple, brief manner, what do you think? Why is this condition a necessary condition? What am I doing in this? The answer is not simple. Think about it. Talk about it for a few minutes. Why am I obligated? We're talking about the description, the picture. Him and he is one, Enod Milvado, the point of unity, the point of connection, the middle of the group, the center of the group. Why is that necessary for me to see each and every face in front of me as great, above me? Great meaning that I really accept him as above me. Talk briefly, one or two sentences at the most, each of you. And that's how we say the things. And the main point is how we relate to one another.
I can only receive from somebody that I appreciate, someone I see as great. This is a law. If I appreciate the friend, the friends, and see them as great, then I'll be able to absorb from them. I'll be able to receive from them, and just simply to absorb what's actually behind them, this great force, the Creator. And the important thing is that every person here is here because the Creator chose him. There's no doubt in that. By seeing every friend as great, I cancel the lie that my ego is showing me that is belittling him. To see the quality of his soul as great as all of our work, if my friend is the Creator and I relate in this way to my friend and I try to see him as great, then I'll see his greatness not from my ego but from my point in the heart, and then there will be room for connection with him. This is why I must see him as great. A friend is the Creator. It has to be the same for me. To the same extent that I annul myself in front of my friend, if he is one before me and I am the zero behind him, by that I enlarge our force, our mutual force, by 10. And if the friend and another one and two friends are before me, and then I am twice as much as zero behind him, then our force grows by 100. And this is the example that Rabash gives. This is what we're told. And this is how we can enlarge our force, our power. I can be dissolved inside someone who is greater than me. I can't do that with someone who's smaller than me. Only by seeing the friend is great can I build this new head to run the will to receive, which is below it, from the greatness of the friend of the group. To see the friend as great is an impossible state. It's actually an opportunity to allow the Creator, to work with the Creator, because this is where the Creator can be revealed. The truth is, I didn't really want to give an answer because I didn't really find one. But the friend reminded here, and I want to continue his answer, that it's through this that, above all the differences between us, I look for the point of unity between us, the point that connects through the effort that I give. Here, there's room for prayer that is made so that this one force that exists will connect us and will show me how great this friend truly is. Otherwise, I would never be able to see him as great. By seeing my friend as great, I annul myself towards him. I'll repeat the question. Why do I need to accept my friend as greater than me? Why is this condition necessary, mandatory? When I describe the friend as above me, I yearn to be as great as him, and this pulls me forward to the next degree, to the next state. What does this mean to see him as great, make him great? What do I make great in him, greater than me? What desire in him do I make great? He has only one desire, according to which he's called my friend, and this is what I need to grow. And it's like the Rav said now, that I need to take an iron brush and clean my heart with it, and only then will I be able to connect our points. So this is my friend. This is the point. It's only the point within him and nothing else. This is what I need to enlarge within him. To see that is great. Perhaps by trying to see the friend as great, then out of this effort that I give, in some way this distances me from the will to receive for myself, and that already puts me in a way, in a form that is closer to the quality of bestowal. If everything that I feel is only myself, then everything outside of me, whether it's the Creator or the friend, it's the same. And if the Creator chose to show Himself in this way, right now, through the friends, and put special friends, the greatest of the generation, and lit within him, within them that spark, the special one, towards which I annul, through which it's possible maybe to reach something that is called bestowal. Then we need to treat the friends with the utmost seriousness and to see the special form that the Creator chose to reveal Himself through right now. Only by me seeing my friend as great can I find things that would be beneficial in me for the friend who I consider as great, for the group. I think also there is a question that arises here of what does it mean to be great? Because I have a 5-month-old child, but I have to annul myself to her, towards such a small child. The question is, what is great? What direction do we look at it from? Truth is, our work is always above the ego. We simply, through the books, through the teachers, we know that our entire work attaining the quality of bestowal is only through the friends.
The answer is, apart from man, everything is the Creator. And by my seeing my friends as greater than me, that is how I cancel myself and get used to, in that way, to see outside myself the Creator, which is trust, who is trust in friends and the group, teacher, books, and everything that belongs to a means for achieving his revelation. Later, I have to relate to the whole world like that, but that requires corrections, like Rabash said, learning in itself. From the group and the friends being representatives of the group, of the Creator, I lie to the group, I lie to the friend, I respect the friend, I respect the Creator. That is how we have to accept it. It is written in Rabash's articles. But if that's how it is, why do I also have to feel myself in a certain manner greater than a friend? And also equal to him. Why are there another two options apart from him being greater than me if he's a representative of the Creator? Obviously, the Creator is presenting this face, this shape, this form of the friend, and I accept it like that. So why am I obligated to feel myself also greater than him in a certain manner and equal to him? Go ahead.
I'll repeat the question. Except for me needing to accept the friend as greater than me, then the question now is, why do I need to feel myself also as great, myself as greater than the friend and equal to him? Is the question clear? In what way can I be greater than a friend? And where, in what way can I be equal to him? Towards what? I think I can be great towards a friend when I need to give him the importance of the goal, to help him, and equal, it seems to me that it's towards the creator. If the friend is the creator, then equal happens when I reach the adhesion with him. I'd like to continue. Each one on the spiritual path finds himself in all kinds of states. And the moment that a person begins, even in the way of a game, to present himself as great, great in his desire, in his yearning, in the path, as we say. And in this way, he also transmits, gives to his friend this positive example. He gives him high spirits. He encourages him. And together with that, he also takes himself out of the state in which he is, meaning he rises above his state, and he also helps his friend rise above. And equal, the state in which I'm equal to my friend, this is maybe specifically in this state where I'm committed, where I commit to, just like him, to the same path, to the same things, to the same concessions, that I show him that I'm willing to concede just like him, together with him, in my way, but I'm willing, I'm prepared. When I'm equal to the friend, I can connect to him according to the law of equivalence of form. I have to be equal to him. And I want to draw him upwards, then I need to show him that I'm great. They give him a personal example, and by that I can draw him upwards, pull him together with me, for him to be equal to me, for us to connect. The importance of the goal is connection, and then I want to connect with a friend, and I don't feel that I'm greater than him, I feel that I'm equal. And when, if I feel that he doesn't want to, if I feel that, then it's all towards me. But if I feel it doesn't matter, then I feel myself as greater than him because I want the importance of the goal and connection, and he does not. And then I try to bestow him this importance. Maybe you can also say it this way. When am I great? When I am in the state of ascendance and I can give this to the group, to humanity, I have to pass it through me to be as a passageway to give it to those below me. And to be equal is, I don't know. I'll repeat the question. Why do I need to feel myself in a certain way, both also as greater than a friend and equal to him? In what way can I be greater than a friend? And in what way can I be equal to him? Towards what? The question is actually, if the friend and the creator is the same thing, like I said, he who lies to the friend lies to the creator, one who respects his friend respects the creator, and so on. So in what ways, in what states or situations can I be above the Creator and equal to Him? Well, we already talked about, or we understand, we talked about what it is to be below Him. In what instances and in what situations can we be above Him and equal to Him? Above, meaning that I am the one who dictates, that I determine. A friend or a creator, it turns out that it's the same. Except for oneself, everything is the upper force. Please. It's the same question. If a friend and the creator is the same thing, then I'm greater because the demand needs to come from me. Like Avi said with his daughter, but in general, with the demand from the creator to awaken the friend, I can do that. I can awaken the group only to the extent that I invest in them. So it only depends on me. And by that, maybe I'm the greater one. I don't know why this actually brings me back to what we heard in the lesson. If it's towards the creator, then it turns out that it's one puts himself in the condition of reduction, of annulment. He doesn't want to receive. It's a restriction. He doesn't want to be the receiver. And this is so-called the worst thing, because you repel everything that you're given. And it turns out that you begin to determine the condition to what extent are you going to receive. And then it turns out that you are the one who's bestowing. You are the one who's determining the condition upon which you receive. And you only receive to the condition that you bestow to the Creator. And by that, you bring yourself to the point of equality, that if you want to give to me, it's only to the same extent I'll only receive, and to the same extent that I'm able to please you. And by that, I discern the point of equality. This is the point of equality, this condition of the restriction, where reception is not important for me. I only want to bestow. And I'll only receive from you to the condition that I will give you satisfaction. This brings me to the point of equality. I don't know, I'll try to say something. I hope the words come out. If I come to a friend as greater in the way of pride, in a non-kosher way, and I look at him from above, then this is not the intention that we're talking about here. But if I come to a friend as greater than him in the way that I try as much as I can to bestow greatness and upliftment of the goal to him internally, externally, then this is how I actually express my desire to annul to him, to annul myself towards him by showing him myself as great. Then by that I actually express my desire to be small, to truly annul myself to him, or to be as equal, as an equal. So then the greatness in itself is the annulment towards the friend. The question is, so if the friend and the creator are the same thing, then in what situations can I be above the friend, meaning that I determine, and in what instances can I be equal to him? I'll just repeat what David said, because I think this is true, that greater is when I annul myself and dictate new conditions on the reception of the light. I am the first, and I'm equal when we truly feel that equally, that we've reached mutual bestowal with the Creator. Just like He gives to me, I give Him pleasure by receiving from Him. In the same example, there's this situation that the moment that I put myself as someone that on the one hand I don't have a vessel to receive, but I put this force of bestowal in a state of neediness that He needs to bestow to me, and by that I'm already great, that I come to the decision to what extent He bestows to me. And I'm just trying to discern this point of equality, as I still feel that it's not clear, this point of equality, maybe because of the intention, and that through the intention we come to the bestowal that we both want to bestow. In addition to the question, in what order do I need to relate to the friend? As a great, to the great, to the equal, to the great, to the small, and to the equal. The question is, in what order do I need to relate to the friend? To he was greater or smaller or equal. I didn't quite understand the question. It's as if it's three types of friends or three types of ways to relate to the same friend. Only to try and discern the question, is there a certain order here that first I need to see the friend as great, then as small, and then as equal, or do I need to begin to see him first of all as small, and then to see that he's equal, and then to see that he's great? Is there a kind of order here that is defined of discernment that needs to happen here? Maybe this is about states. Say, in one state, I see the friend as small. And then, but in what order do I need to begin to relate to him? And maybe in a second state, I see him differently. I don't know. It's confused. Maybe I am confused. Maybe it's about states. Say, in one state I see the friend as small, then how do I need to relate to him then? And what order of relations do I need to treat him? Or in another state that I see him as great also. I don't know. The question is, if every way I relate is a type of situation or state, then why do I need to switch it? If there is a state of where I see him as greater or smaller or equal, then why does there need to be a series? So if he's smaller, I need to go to greater or equal. Why does there even need to be a series of ways of relating to the friend? The question was in these words: in what order do I need to relate to the friend, to the great, to the small, and to the equal? If I'm in the direction, then I think that first of all I need to relate to the friend as great, so that I'll be able to receive something from him, so that I'd be able to consider him and to give something of myself, so that I'd in some way be able to receive from him, and then as an equal, so that we would have a kind of equality of desire, one thought. Some kind of desire that we decided upon. And then I need to accept him as small. So that I'd be... Addition to the question, what is the highest way to relate towards the friend, either as great or as small or as equal? This is in addition to the same question, these same questions. The highest state, after all the scrutinies of the annulment towards the friend, and then bestowing to him as great towards the small one, is to reach the equality, equivalence of form towards the same goal that we are together reaching in mutual work. It seems to me that the highest state that we reach is the equivalence of form, that we are in a state of equal relation. When our relation towards the friend is scrutinized, is discerned as equal, what is he equal to me in? That we both yearn for the same goal. And then already the states of the path, whether the different states, whether I need to relate to them as great or small, but at the end of the path, it's like driving on the road. You go from right to left only according to your advancement. But the main movement is to go together equally, to move together. I also think that the highest level is actually equivalence of form, because it is actually adhesion with the friend. If the friend is the creator, this is the adhesion with the creator, which is in equivalence of form to him. So then actually reaching equivalence of form with a friend, this means that I'm equal to him. And this is actually, I don't know if it's the end of the process, but this is the highest level. And in regards to seeing him as great, or being greater than the friend, according to what I feel, this is my beginning feeling. This is my basis, that I feel that I'm greater than him. And in order to reach the equivalence of form, I need to annul myself towards him. And then actually I reach the state in which I'm lower, I'm smaller than him. So then according to what I understand, there's a kind of order here, where at first I'm greater than him, because this is actually the way my nature is, that I feel, and then I need to work on it and reach annulment, which means feeling smaller than the friend, and finally reach equivalence of form, which is adhesion. But it sounds too simple. It was an addition to the question. So maybe we can see an order here. When the friend is small, first of all, when I want to bestow to him because he's precious to me, I want to give him forces, I want to give him greatness. And then he becomes great, and then I'm impressed by him, and I yearn for him. He begins to be an example for me. And the most precious and important state is when we are equal. And then between equals there is love, and then we're called friends. Neither great nor small, there is no such dependency here anymore. It's something common, we stick together. Maybe it will help us if we add to this the example of the host and the guest. Great, small, and equal. Try. The guest towards the host, the owner of the house. So really, it all needs to begin from the basis of love. If there isn't a basis of love, then there is no meaning to these values of great, small, or equal. And according to the example of the guest and the host, the homeowner, then if there is love between both sides, then it makes the situation clearer. Because what is maximum love? Maximum love is maximum equivalence of form, and all the rest, they aim you towards love. If it's great, then I want him to bestow this love to me, because I want to be like him. I want him to bestow to me of these values. If I'm great, then I want to reach this love. And I want to have him help me reach this love. Then no matter how we turn this around, we always want to go back to this love of connection, either from the left or the right or above or below, it doesn't matter. But the basis to everything is that if there is no love, then nothing else is relevant.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say here in the circle, through you, it turns out that equal means one. It's an amazing thing that I felt from the friends, and with the guest and the host, then there's a point here that you first need to feel the host, the quality of bestowal, and then you feel yourself as small. And together with that, this small state, it doesn't give you any rest, and you constantly want to be great as him, because you can't stand this state of smallness. And then your aspiration is to finally reach the equivalence, this equal state with the host, so that to the same extent that I satisfy him and he gives to me and I receive happily. Okay, I think it's already clear, more or less, that first there needs to be a state of seeing the friend as great and respected. This is why I said that maybe the guest and the host, I need to see him as great. And out of that, that he seems as great, then I can come to him in demand. That I am great by demanding. I demand help. I demand support. I ask for it. This is called, and my sons shall have victory over me. And then we reach the equivalence, which is the adhesion, connection. So the Rabash writes that I feel my friends and as close, and distance has no meaning and nothing disturbs us. And finally, they are in my heart, and I reach a state in which there is nothing else except for the friends, only the friends. Where is the Creator? Is this not blasphemy? Is it okay to say that? But this is what he says. Well, what can be the justify him? But there's an addition there at the end. Rav didn't say that afterwards there's only the friends, and then I also disappear. If I disappear, then and my friends are the Creator, just like he says himself, that the group and the center of the group, it's the Creator. So if I manage to relate to my friends in this way and I disappeared within them, then friends, the Creator, it's the same. We hear a lot that the force of bestowal, it's a bestowal without conditions. There is no condition. If you're bestowing, then you have no conditions. And therefore, finally, all we say is from our feeling or perception. And so when I succeed to exit myself and to feel the outside desires, to the same extent that I'm able to do that and be swallowed up in those desires, this exit outside, out of myself, is called bestowal, where it's not important what's happening to me. It's important for me to be swallowed within them, to see them as great, because that is that force, and that is why he says there is no reality only the friends, because you've managed to exit yourself. And it's that exiting of myself which is also called creator and bestowal. Try and let each one speak a short time and then finish what you say. There's 10 people. Each one should have a maximum of 1 minute, even less. Balasulam says in the Arvut article that the feeling that a person has when he deals with the precepts or with his relationship with him and the Creator, then it's equal to the feeling that he needs to have when he relates to his friends. So I describe to myself that if Rabash says that there is no reality in the world but the friends, then he's reached that very point where the friends and the Creator became as one, truly as one, where there is no difference, it's just the same. So then there is no blasphemy here. It's in this high point, the Creator and the friends connect as one. In your relation, the way you relate to your friends, in the correction of your attitude towards them, this is actually the revelation of the Creator. The friends are outside of you is only the Creator. If you come to the state in which you feel only the friends, then you enter the state of bestowal. The quality of bestowal is revealed to you, the connection with the friends. And if you've reached a state where the friends are only the Creator, there is no diversion here. It's a direct relation. Also, to continue what was said, if we are integrated and annulled, if we live, we are absorbed in this atmosphere and this force of connection of the friends and this thing that at first I am perceiving as friends or bodies or whatever, but inside them and their internality, then this form, this power, this force is that the revelation, this is the thing that is being revealed. This is the form of connection which is the Creator. So we're all actually saying the same thing, that actually the Creator is between us, between the friends, in the connection between us. And I think that what the Rabash felt there, that feeling of the connection, of the distance that does not separate, this whole thing actually came to the point, this middle point, the center, which is where the Creator is. So actually, only the friends is only the Creator. I'll continue the friends. If the group and the Creator are the same, are one and the same, this meaning the Creator does not have an image or form. He doesn't have a name. But everything is revealed according to the extent of the connection between us. And the form of the connection between us is His form. And the power of our connection is His degree. And the feeling, the fulfillment that we receive from our connection is His power. Then it turns out that the group and the Creator are the same. They're one and the same. So then how do I need to receive or accept the different states that the group goes through? Up, down, different breakings, revelation of bad relations or good relations. If the group and the Creator are the same, meaning that I discover Him within the group, how do I need to see then and accept the different states that the group goes through? According to what I understand, then the states that the group goes through is actually my attitude towards the Creator. If I'm ascending, if I'm descending, if I'm falling, if the group is rising or falling, this is actually a relationship with the Creator, my relationship with Him. This is a transition, a state of rising or falling depends. The fall can be the ascent. So actually, there's a relationship, an attitude that's happening to me with the Creator. The question was, how do I need to accept or receive the different situations that the group goes through? Once I'm up, once I'm down. If the group is the Creator, then, and I need to discover Him within the group. Once again, the question, how do I need to accept different states that the group goes through, once it's up, once it's down, if actually the Creator and the group are the same, and I need to discover Him within the group, then how do I need to see these different states that the group goes through? Rabash writes that if you see a flaw in the friend, then the flaw is in you, and you need to correct it. So we know that the Creator is stable and does not change. If the Creator is the group, then also the group, all the problems that it goes through, all the states, it's me. I have more ego. They add more ego to me. Then I begin to move and to change my attitude towards the group. I want to continue, Itzik. This is actually a point where I begin to relate, to see the group. As my channel of communicating or connecting to the force of bestowal. And in the form of approach, this is the duty was talking about. This is very right way to define it, the ways of relating to the Creator. Then it turns out that I'm constantly discerning different forms of attitude, of approach in ascending or descending, and I'm constantly discerning my advancement, whether I'm justifying or bestowing an opportunity for me to bestow to the group, or my opportunity to lower myself and annul myself to the group. The question once again, how do I need to accept the different states that the group goes through, where it's once it's above, once it's down? if the creator and the group are the same, if I need to discover the creator within the group, how do I receive the different states that the group goes through? How do I relate to them? First of all, it's not indifference, and that's already good if it's up or down. And these are states that I see them. It's just an opportunity that one receives from above to draw the light to see them as greater, with more love, with more connection. Even if you understand, even if you don't understand, whether you have answers or not, everything comes through the connection. It's an opportunity even to work in faith above reason. The different states in which I see the group actually express my attitude towards the Creator once I'm up, once I'm down. And in the correction of this attitude, the Creator is revealed within the group. It's the way I measure it. A slightly more difficult questions and continuance to the last question. How can we connect a person's attitude towards the group as it is towards the Creator? As Bala Sulam tells us in his article, the revelation and hiding of the face of the Creator, when a person sees once that his friends are righteous and everything is going great and they're in the world where everything is good, they're successful at everything, and once he sees that they're stupid and that he doesn't want to be with them and they're all losing and so on, how can we discern and understand this approach both for the group and for the Creator? This is the continuance of the last question. Whoever feels it's difficult, then go back to the last question. Okay, the question is as so. How can we connect? How can we connect one's attitude towards the group as his attitude towards the Creator? As the article of Bala Sulam says, once I see them as righteous, once I see them as idiots and broken, how can I discern or see this view as both of that of the group and also that of the Creator? Again, how can we connect our attitude towards the group as the attitude with the attitude towards the Creator? Once I see them as righteous and once as stupid, how can we see this view of the group and the Creator as one? actually, if each one separately takes upon himself this mission, then it's impossible to do. It's only on the condition that a group of people, friends, determine or make a pact between them, a covenant between them, and they begin to work together for this goal. Only then is there is the force, the power for each one to annul and to see the greatness of the goal and to continue towards that. Otherwise, there is no power. Only with the covenant and working together. Okay, let's try with the force of unity, because that's the most important thing in our workshop, that we're together, that we will unite. Then from this thought that I received from the center of the group, we have two forms of attitude towards the Creator. Either we can justify His action towards us, or we can't justify it. And the one who justifies it is the will to receive. And also the attitude towards the friends, once I see them as righteous and once as stupid. This is also a type of attitude of my will to receive towards the situation that is revealed. And I think that when one enters the force of bestowal, the quality of bestowal, he rises above this state of the will to receive, and he does not judge things in these vessels. He's already above this state, and hence the changing states are already equal for him. And then it turns out that he rises above these states and he's just above them. Well, I thought about this point. A thought came to me from the center of the group that maybe there is something here to do with the manifestation of our Rashimo, that each time a new Rashimo is revealed to me, and then I see my friends as stupid, and this is also the way I relate to the Creator. I convict him. And then the degree is finished by me justifying the Creator, and then the states change in this way with my changing attitudes towards them. To continue that, then maybe the states that I feel, the descent or the group as something negative, is my place to ask the Creator of the correction. This is my place for correction, where through my work, this is my work, our work with the group, to see the group in a certain state. When I see them in a certain state, then I ask for correction on that. If I see something good, well, here actually I'm a bit confused, but I think that then we find ourselves in a state that is called ascent. It's as if we've risen a degree, a step, because directly after that we feel that we fall, and then we need to ask for correction. It turns out, probably, from all of this, that nothing changes except for one's attitude. And everything that he feels in creation, he feels it through his intention. Hence, it's called that I did not change the Havaya. The light is in complete rest. There is nothing except for the state of infinity, and all of the rest, whatever we see, we, the created, that we see as existing, it's because our intention through which we look, we see through a kind of filter, a glass, a colored glass. We constantly look through different glasses, different intentions at the state of infinity, then we see the state of infinity differently in accordance to our intention, and nothing but our intention changes. So also now I am in a state that infinity is before me, and only my intention is ruining it to the level of the present world that I now experience. How do we bring ourselves back through the center of the group to infinity? What is infinity? Or in a more simple, direct way, why is infinity called the center of the group? The question is as so: how do we bring ourselves back through the center of the group to infinity? Why is infinity called, actually, the center of the group? Through our mutual work, our mutual efforts, we've reached a state of the point of connection. Then there are no differences. And in this point where there are no differences, this is called a point of connection of infinity. No differences. That's why this point of connection is called infinity. Equivalence of form. I'll try. Of course, through the center of the group. We heard here now that when we reach this concept that is called the center of the group, that on the way, first of all, what's revealed to us is a different desire. It's not the same desire to receive that we now have. It's a kind of different desire. And this desire is also called Malchut of Ein Sof, the same vessel that is supposed to receive all of the bounty. And we reach this thing, this center of the group, through a line, this intention that we build together. And therefore, the group that builds the form of relations of bestowal in its intentions is the one that creates this line of infinity. And it is the one that raises itself above to that high degree. I'm thinking more about the first part of the question. How do we bring ourselves to infinity, back to infinity, through the center of the group? I think that by understanding and that there is no time left, that this is a critical moment, that we have a role that we need to perform, and there is nobody else, and there is no choice, we simply must annul ourselves towards the center, towards this infinity, I don't know towards who, and to focus only on our points and how to accept and receive all of them in the center of the group, because we have a role and we must bring everybody through this center. Each one who's sitting here has a spark. If not, he wouldn't have been here. This same spark from the breaking. Each of us has a true part from above, and we have nothing else to do but to try and gather all of these sparks, to connect them together, as Balasulam writes, in one place, in friendliness and love, and simply unity, to focus all of our points to one center, to one point inside of which, inside this point, where all of us unite as one. That's where infinity will be revealed. That's where the Creator is revealed. We build Him, we create Him, as we learned today. Simple effort, just as making a simple effort to be focused, concentrated on this one point where all of our sparks come together. And that's where the Creator is revealed. In continuance to what Yaniv said, we build all of these worlds in the center of the group. And if the center of the group is the collection of all of the desires of each one towards unity, and in the center of the group they connect into a certain state of one desire, then inside the center, the power of each one activates towards the entire group, a kind of effort that each one performs makes each time we make a stronger and stronger center, stronger and stronger connection. By that we build the worlds, by that we build the center of our desires. And to continue, the friends, the image that comes to me from this thing is actually the network of connections between us. It's a network that once we all connect into this source and create this vessel,